Welcome back to the Woodbury Report. This is Lon Woodbury, an independent educational consultant located in North Idaho. And this is March 30th, 2015. And I have on the phone Dr. Stephen Mandler. Well, good morning, Dr. Mandler. Glad to have you here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now, Dr. Mandler is the chief medical officer and the psychiatrist at Yellowstone Boys and Girls Ranch outside of Billings, and one of his specialties is autism. He works with on autism and done some research on that. And coming up in a couple days, and today when you hear this, was Autism Recognition Day, April 2nd. And so we're going to talk about autism and the title of When Autism Comes to Your Home. So, Dr. Mandler, could you explain a little bit about some of the things that go on in the parents you see when all of a sudden they discover that their kid is autistic and they have to respond to it?
Right. Well, it's interesting because autism is a spectrum, and so there is more severe, quite obvious forms, and then it goes all the way up to less obvious, in the sense that a child, for the most part, can communicate well with his family and other peers, and so it may be missed. So the high-functioning form of autism is frequently missed, and a lot of times is misdiagnosed. So sometimes we see children and families come in and their children have diagnoses of oppositional defiant disorder, conduct disorder, depression, a whole host of kind of problems that were more kind of indicative of not being successful in particular settings, like a school setting, or they would get aggressive or violent, or they would start hitting at home. But when we focus in more clearly and we look at their symptoms, we see that there are social and language difficulties that cause problems in terms of their understanding of how people are communicating with them. They don't. Kids with autism, especially high functioning, often read facial expressions in a different manner from most kids. So they may either give the facial facial expressions of others very little regard, or they may overinterpret. They may see a smile and become suspicious that it means something else. So they really struggle in the understanding of typical social communication styles. And as a result, many of those kids will become angered, frustrated, resentful, and then they'll act it out onto others and their family members.
Okay, so what you're saying there is oftentimes it's a misdiagnosis. It's other things when actually it needs a good, thorough assessment in order to determine, well, maybe there's autism.
Yes, exactly. We see that a lot.
Okay, now what's the situation? There's a change in definitions. When you talk about high functioning, are you still talking about the Asperger's, or is that in a separate?
Yes.
What's happened? You're still talking about Asperger's.
Asperger's would be part of the high functioning autism spectrum, which means for the most part they have normal language development. Their vocabulary and their ability to understand concepts is similar to that of most children. But what they struggle with is understanding some of the social rules, some of the things like most of us will gaze at another person's face or their head area when they're talking to us. It communicates a sense of respect and kind of a reciprocal thing. And kids with high-functioning autism or Asperger's often don't get that. They don't understand what is the point of looking at a person. It doesn't really mean anything. But we have ways of teaching them that looking at a person or in the direction of a person's head, shaking their hands, doing certain social gestures, communicates a sense of being listened to the other person.
Well, let's take a look at the teenagers, and I want to try to focus on the parents. So, kid has some problems, and it turns out that it wasn't oppositional defiant or a jerk or anything like that. The diagnosis comes up with autism, and that's new to them. How should they adjust to that, and what can parents do?
Well, I think as soon as you have some clarity in the diagnosis, then you can, instead of focusing on using kind of punitive techniques, you know, or consequences constantly for the misbehavior, you can focus more on helping them learn what are societal norms in terms of communication and how they can better fit in and change their behavior. And if you communicate that they'll be able to better get what they're wanting if they can use this kind of hidden set of rules. And it really changes the focus completely because many times they're assuming that the child is doing these things willfully or doing it to irritate the parent on purpose when that's not the case.
Okay, so they do that and they change it. I've always said to, and correct my impression, but my impression is that a high functioning autism or autistic, they don't know the some of the hidden rules, as you say, the hidden rules. And so
right.
A large part of it is teaching them those rules. And I always parallel that to, I'm color weak, say somebody that's colorblind. In order to match clothes, they have to memorize which ones because they just don't naturally see. Is that sort of a parallel?
Right. And when we use, we use role play, we use a variety of techniques to kind of over practice these things so that when they get into a situation that they start using these regularly and they find that their relationships with peers and others improves pretty dramatically.
Okay, it just doesn't come naturally. They have to learn it.
That's exactly right.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about Yellowstone Boys and Girls Ranch. Some of your clients there are autistic. That's the diagnosis?
Yes, we have a specialty lodge for high-functioning autistic and Asperger's kids called London Lodge, and we have social skills training curriculum. We use natural and logical consequences to help reinforce behaviors, and we use an approach called mentalization-based treatment, which helps a child learn the fundamentals behind empathy and compassion. That's one of the things that is oftentimes hard for kids with autism to pick up, is understanding that other people have minds. They tend to see things concretely, what they are right before them. And what we do is we try to teach them that if they start thinking that other people will be affected emotionally by some of their behaviors, they can start to understand why these people behave this way. And so mentalization is simply focusing on your guesses about how other people are thinking and feeling, and then you can make adjustments in how you act.
Sounds like you're talking about empathy. And is that part of what you're doing, is teaching them empathy, or at least the rote part of empathy?
Well, and mentalization gets to more than just the rote part. It gets them to understand, well, if I was being treated that way, I would probably feel bad too. So I don't want to treat other people in a certain way so that they have a more enjoyable experience when they're around me. And so it does build compassion and empathy, and I think that's a real strength of our program.
So something along the line of fake it until you make it?
Yeah, and what I'd say, so a kid who has not gone through treatment, they might be with a friend walking down the sidewalk and one of them trips. Well, so a kid who has not received treatment might laugh because they think that's kind of funny to see what happens when the other guy trips over his own feet. But with this type of mentalization-based treatment, we can get them to kind of put themselves in the shoes of other people. How would you feel if you had tripped? And then how would you feel if someone laughed after you had fallen? And then it really builds on and helps them become a productive member of society and start to understand how other people are feeling. And we've found pretty good success with this.
Okay, well, that's very, very good and very enlightening. We've about ran out of time, but I want to give you a half a minute or a minute or so. If somebody wanted to talk to you more about that or see what you're doing on with high-functioning autism there at Yellowstone Boys and Girls Ranch, how would they get a hold of you?
I would say first go to our website, and Yellowstone Boys and Girls Ranch, and there are some specific references to the autism services available, and anyone in our admissions department would be happy to talk to you in greater detail about what we have and whether it would be a good fit for you, your family, and your child.
Okay. The phone number for that, I understand, is 406-655-2125. At least that would get into the to where you can start asking some questions. Well, I thank you. Thank you very much, Dr. Mandler. This is enlightening, and I hope it helped with Autism Recognition Day, that people understand a little bit more of what autism is, which is still a little bit of a mystery because there's old rumors come out. I know when I first heard about autism, I had the picture of a kid sitting in a corner banging his head against the wall, and that was autism. Well, it's a lot more than that.
It is.
Okay. Well, this is Lon Woodbury with the Woodbury Report, and been talking with Dr. Stephen Mandler about autism, when autism comes to your home. And my website, if you want to find out what I do and a copy of other interviews like this, it's strugglingteens, that's one word, plural, .com.